Raising women's voices, one story at a time. Welcome to the She Said Project Podcast. So we are back for another episode of the She Said Project podcast, where Carrie Rosso, co-founder of the She Said Project movement, and I, Jeanette Jurczyk, national director, we get to come together and we get to dive into the vault of the stories that have been shared live on stage in previous That's What She Said shows. And we've got years of shows that began in Champaign-Urbana and now have expanded into other communities. But it is so much fun to revisit some of our favorite stories, don't you think, Gary?
I do. Well, because the best part, when you boil it all down, it's all about telling stories. So the great part is we get to spend all this time with these women, and then we have the show, and then life goes on. And so the great thing about the podcast is because I'm constantly thinking, what's going on with Debbie? What's going on with Angela? And then this is just the opportunity to hear more because their story didn't end. You know,
right.
What are they doing now? How did it impact
now?
Their world? I want to know all the things.
And you know what's so cool is when we talk to women about performing in the show and bringing a story to the stage, there are some women who start by saying, I don't have a story. I don't know what I'm going to talk about. And we work with them to find it because, as you know, the premise is everyone has a story and we're going to get it out of you. We're going to find it. But we really strive to have, you know, just everyday women, you know, your next door neighbor, or the woman at the grocery store, your daughter's teacher. These are not women who are on the professional speaking circuit and going out there, you know, making a career and building a brand. But every now and then we get to work with a special speaker who has something so poignant and beautiful to say that, you know, when we look back and say, where are they now? We get to find out some pretty cool things. So I'm going to use that right now to transition right into introducing our guest today. So live in the studio with us is Debbie Hensley. Welcome, Debbie.
Thank you. It's fun to be here.
Oh, my God. It's so good to see you. You, of course, participated in the 2016 cast of That's What She Said in Champaign-Urbana at the Virginia Theater. Do you remember that night?
Oh, of course I do.
Yes.
Yeah, I do. It was great.
What made you say yes to the invitation?
Well, actually, I kind of stalked Carrie and arranged a little bit of a, can we have coffee? Because I really want to be in your show. I didn't really stalk you, but I arranged kind of a connection because I felt like I wanted to be a part of it.
Well, and Debbie, I don't think I've ever told you this story, but someone had given me her name, and I reverse stalked you. And while I thought you were doing amazing things, yeah. I thought, I've always held on to this. I don't want people who are polished and on this circuit, and I want everyday people. And you seemed like someone who, you were fancy. You know, you had all these things. You were somebody who was building this brand. And so I kind of moved on. And then Debbie is that person. Then I met her. And it was like, okay, I know I've always said this, but this woman is amazing and authentic. I didn't have that feeling of, I'm, you know, for $9.99, you can buy my answers to life.
Well, we keep to the rules that she said. There's no selling from the stage. There's no,
right,
you know, political or religious agenda. But that's not what Debbie Hensley is about. She discovered something really great in her career, in her life, that she wanted to share with women out there because it could benefit them.
And your message is so on point with things that we feel strongly about. So it just felt like the perfect storm.
Yeah.
Everything came together. And
so, Debbie, you got to tell our audience what it is we're talking about.
So I'm thinking how to pay my marketer extra money. She sounds like she makes me sound better than I really am. So I have a company. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Called Your Best Third Third. And the whole idea is to help women of any age to be thinking about planning, being intentional, so that the third of their life in, you know, the way I think it's from age 60 to 90 is the very best third. So it's not a time that you just think, oh, my life's over. Now I have to just figure out what to do. But it's like, no, now I'm ready. And it's going to be the best.
And there was a moment in your life where you had this realization that you get to make some of these choices. And if I recall, you shared some of those revelations with the audience that night about how you discovered this message and this opportunity to think a little bit differently about the third third. So let's go to the performance back in that cold, dark night. Just kidding. The beautiful, inspiring night from 2016 at the Virginia Theater, Champaign, Illinois. Debbie Hensley sharing with us, which old woman will you be?
I turned 60 a few years ago. I stopped dyeing my hair. I designed my own party. I told my husband where I wanted it, how I wanted it, and who I wanted to be there. I got what I wanted. I got a little sassy. It was a good birthday. A few days later, I was thinking about 60, and I thought about my mother, who was 90. Wow, that's 30 years. What am I going to do with another 30 years? And if I live as long as my mother, 30 years is a third of my life. Another third. The third third. It was a time of pondering. 30 more years. I don't know why, but I've always wondered what I'm going to be like when I'm old. I remember being in an early morning Bible study with other women my age, all of us very sure we were exceptionally wise and knowledgeable in our 20s. One morning, another woman, younger than me, said, "I can't wait until I'm a wise older woman." I remember thinking, "You better start learning wisdom now, because I am pretty sure it's not going to be delivered with your Medicare card." I used to take my little boys to visit at the nursing home because I wanted them to be comfortable around old people. I noticed that in the nursing home, there are two kinds of people. There are the nice ones, and there are the other kind of ones. Over the years, I have noticed that the nice women did not become nice when they moved into assisted living with pockets full of butterscotch candies for little boys. And the other kind of ones, they probably didn't get grumpy or mean overnight either. One thing that I have come to know as a truth is that as we age, we just care less about what other people think of us. And we also, frankly, just have less energy to pretend to be any way. To pretend to be any other way than who we really are at our core. So it matters what we're like in our first third and our second third. Because when we're in our third third, who we really are is just going to sort of seep out of us. Which old woman will I be? It's a big question. I've answered that question for myself by saying that I want grace and truth to seep out of me. Now, and when I'm really old. Now, if I were to get a tattoo, which I'm pretty sure I won't, because I am in my third third and my skin's getting a little stretchy, it would be grace on my left arm and truth on my right. Because I'm always trying to balance, counterbalance grace and truth. It's the way that I'm intentionally designing my third third, learning to balance grace and truth. Truth comes pretty easy for me. I can usually say what I believe to be true. Grace, though, I'm always learning, and often the hard way. I've had some great opportunities for learning grace. It took grace to stay in a marriage to a man who was in a very difficult career environment and who was depressed for most of oh, the first 35 years of our marriage. It's taken grace for me to learn to be a good mom, because I didn't exactly grow up dreaming of being a mother. We have 5 kids. 5. They are now all 5 grown and responsible and in good relationships. Finally. A great source of learning grace for me is our son, who has Down syndrome. From Joel, I've learned to fight for him and to love as he loves, and to be patient. Sometimes patient with Joel, but more often patient and gracious to people who are unkind. I watch Joel be full of grace. More opportunity to learn grace was when I was diagnosed with cancer, when I was pregnant with our youngest child, only daughter, who has been a delight in every way, and who's sitting right over there. I kind of had to say that, but it is really true, Anne. Not long after that, it took 2.5 years for me to be diagnosed with a neuromuscular disease that had me in a wheelchair part-time for family outings. The women who were close to me during that time, for 2.5 years, told me there was probably nothing really wrong with me. I learned to respond to them with grace, but it was hard. When I decided that I would extend grace to our oldest son when he was struggling with addiction, it was the hardest, I think. I knew that I had said enough truth to this son as I drove him to the airport to catch a plane to go to rehab to see if he could, if he would, fight his addiction to heroin, learned right here on the streets in Champaign. I knew I had to show him grace and love. Truly, I could not have done that if I had not been intentionally learning grace. Learning grace the hard way has just sort of been my life. I learn the hard way, for some reason. I don't know why, but I wanted to learn grace, so I stuck it out. Grace, patience, forgiveness, this is part of who I am now and what I'm taking with me into my third. Not because I was born this way, but because I know what I want to ooze out of me when I no longer have the energy or care to pretend to be any way other than who I really am at my core. So, I'm almost 5 years into my third, and I am having fun. I'm practicing oozing out grace and truth. I'm smiling at the future, even if it lasts for another 30 years.
So, Debbie, I'm holding in my hand right now a published book called Which Old Woman Will You Be by Debbie Hensley. So you have taken your message that you shared on the stage that was early on in you launching this career, and it's so amazing to see how it has grown. And you're on the speaker circuit now. You wrote a book. Tell us about your book.
Well, it's been really fun. And in fact, the other day, I kind of looked back to see how many people had bought my books, and my husband was surprised. He's like, really? I'm like, of course.
But of course, she says, with raising confidence.
I've always known I needed to write a book. It was kind of, you know, hey, you just have one of those things in you, and you just have to do it. And there are several times earlier I would start or I'd think, but I think really even just at the That's What She Said show, it kind of coalesced. Okay, this is what it's going to be. This is the name of it. I'd always thought it might be called Finding Grace the Hard Way, which maybe that one's coming yet, but it just really fit. And it really fit with the message of, it's just all about how to be intentional when you're younger, so that when you get into that 60 to 90, then you already are who you want to be. So you decide. You aren't just, you know, kind of a product of your circumstance, but you make decisions about what you want to be like.
So at what age do you recommend starting to think about those decisions?
I've had people buy it for their teenage daughters. Yeah. And
Wow.
I saw somebody at the Y the other day who is a peer to my children. She said, my mom was asking me, do you remember Debbie Hensley? Do you know she wrote a book? And then she had given her daughters, who were in their probably early 40s, my book for Christmas. So it's really pretty special. I think once you get the idea, you know, it's like, oh, this is for anybody.
How fulfilling is that?
It feels good.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm finding that I've worked really hard to be positive, to grow through some really hard things. And so to be able to share that, I mean, why else do you do it, right?
Yep.
But to be able to share it.
Famous last words in your piece, you talked about if I were to get tattoos. I won't, but if I were to get tattoos.
Yeah.
And how'd that work out for you?
Well, you know, I for a long time said, nope. I think what I said was, since I am in my third and my skin is a little stretchy. And then but I kept talking about it. And I have a really good friend who finally said, could you either do this or stop talking about it? Because you need to make a decision. And then I run this, my little volunteer thing is I run this food pantry, and there's a guest who comes in who is all tatted up. And so she heard me talking about it, and she said, you need to be careful because, you know, when you have older skin, you need to have somebody who knows how to do ink on older skin. So that made me nervous about it. Oh. But I happen to have well-tatted sons and daughters-in-law. So I kind of reached out to them, and when I went out to do a little babysitting in Phoenix last fall, they hooked me up with a young woman out there who I was disappointed because I was not her oldest client that she had ever inked, but it was Phoenix.
Using the lingo, inked. I got inked.
I'm all into it.
Okay,
now.
So now if someone were sitting here yeah. in the studio and looking at your wrist, what would they see?
Well, my right arm says truth mm-hmm. in blocky letters because oftentimes I need to be reminded that truth can be a little blocky and a little harsh. And on my left arm is grace in a nice, pretty little script because I'm always trying to balance grace and truth. And one of the big things I talked about, you know, in my talk is that truth is easier, but grace is what I really have to work at. So, and I will say that even since November when I got them, there are several times the visual reminder has been really helpful. To say, oh, yeah, Debbie, remember grace.
I love that. You are a woman who practices what you preach. Like,
yes.
Like it is in your veins, literally.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
But so much has happened in the 3 years since you shared that story, and you really pursued this full speed ahead. I am so in awe of you living your truth and your dream, and you are juggling truth and grace, and I think we can all learn from that, right, Carrie Rosso?
I don't know why she's looking at me.
What?
But your cast that year will always be special to me because I thought it was the last show. In my heart of hearts, I thought, this is it. This is the end. And I was so proud because at the end of the show, I kept saying, like, it was everything. The last show was everything that I had been sort of working toward and hoping it would be. And then it was. Your whole cast just was amazing. And so even though, luckily, it didn't turn out to be the last show, but in my heart of hearts, that's the way I'll always see your cast. So that group is
such a strong, tight-knit group. Do you ever see any of the ladies from your show? We've had a couple of them here in the studio.
Yeah, and because I have listened to the podcast, and I know that Janina was talking about how we all memorized it and that we were all like overachievers. But absolutely. I would say in the last week, you know, because I'm not really in like the scene, you know, because I am older. But in the last week, just randomly, I realized that three of them I have had either, you know, text or Facebook communication with, just kind of reaching out. And then I have seen a couple of others. So, and in fact, Peggy and I are having lunch next week.
That is so great.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. And there are people I would never have known otherwise.
Yep.
Yeah,
so.
She said we like to watch these connections happen between the women who come together who would not have met or worked mm-hmm. together, and the friendships that have been created and the connections. I mean, there have been really cool connections of women helping each other professionally, personally, that we've gotten to witness. So that you're in the family now. You're a She Said Sister.
For us. Got you now.
Yeah, good.
So thanks for joining us in the studio and for sharing what's been happening in your career and in spreading the word of which old woman will you be. And I want to live my best third, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. So if you could give one piece of advice, what is the top piece of advice in this? Like, I know there's a lot, but if you could leave our listeners with one strong piece of advice about living your best third on purpose, what you got?
I think it's to just take some time to think about what you want. Like, who do you want to be? What do you want to be like? How do you want, you know, your friends, your family, those people to think of you? Because you have that control. You know, no matter what happens to you, you can still be the person who, you know, you decided you wanted to be. Because if I hadn't decided that I wanted to ooze grace out, believe me, I could be really not very nice.
So it was a choice.
It was absolutely a choice over and over and over.
Well, thank you for making the choice to be here today.
My privilege.
We love, love, love revisiting the stories, sharing the stories, inviting new women to listen and join the She Said movement. And join us next week when we find another fun story to share here on the She Said Project podcast. Thank you for listening to the She Said Project podcast in partnership with Illinois Public Media. All materials contained in the podcast are the exclusive property of the She Said Project and That's What She Said LLC. For more information on our live shows, go to shesaidproject.com. This podcast was presented by Sterling Wealth Management, empowering women to live their best lives. Learn more at sterlingwealthmanagement.com.